Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Welcome, everybody, to the After Party Podcast, the weekly podcast from Harbor of Hope that we follow up with the person who gave a sermon every week. I'm your host, Jeff Dalrymple, and I'm here with the incomparable Reverend Dr. Cricket LaMica.
She's giving me... If you were here, I was going to be smacking that off your face. Not allowed.
Our pastor of care, Cricket LaMica, spoke this week on water, taste and see. Cricket, how are you, first of all?
Relieved.
Relieved to be, yeah, to get through it. There's something super different about giving a sermon over Zoom.
It is so weird because I'm used to making big, what's the word?
Gestures?
Hand motions? Yes, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, they don't work on here.
Yeah, it's so different.
I'm used to looking at everybody, not at the camera.
Yeah. I imagine it's hard. I'm up next, but we'll
see. You'll find out.
Cause the eye contact is a little black dot. Oh, well, would you mind giving us a short summary, 60 seconds or less, of what your sermon was on today?
Short. I don't do short. Well, okay.
Summarize. It can be 4 minutes. If it is, it can be whatever.
Like, we need water to live. We need scripture, and particularly meditating on it, to bring us life and the foundation we need to withstand whatever comes our way in this world.
Beautiful. That is even better than 4 minutes. No, and I think that, and you went into a lot of ideas about meditation and how to soak up scripture. And I think it was really well done.
Well, that's what I find people have trouble with. They're like, well, how do you do that? Between our recording and doing the live service, my Jeff said, I get it. You've told it to me numerous times. I get it now.
Oh, that's great.
I tried it when Jeff Dalrymple was doing communion. It really works. Like, cool.
Good. So if you haven't listened to the sermon yet, go back and listen because, you know, Cricket spells it out. How to meditate, how to slow down and dig into it. So Cricket, since we're talking about water, I'm curious, what is your favorite body of water?
I don't have one.
You don't?
Is that weird?
Maybe. You're not a water person?
I'm a woods person. I love the woods. That is my happy place. And if there's water nearby, that's even better.
Great. A nice babbling brook, perhaps.
Yeah, I go to the Carlisle Bog a lot.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And Thanksgiving Forest has brooks that just, are so amazing. So, yeah.
I love it.
My happy place.
Great. You spent some time in Psalm 1. That's kind of where you drew a lot of your ideas from the sermon. You talk about the verbs of walking, sitting, standing, and then, unless I misinterpreted, you kind of contrasted that with the meditating, or you can correct me, but can you explain this, like the standing, walking, sitting, and how does meditation fall into it?
Well, the standing, walking, sitting ends up, if you're going in the wrong direction, it ends up getting you rooted there in an icky place that is death, according to the psalmist.
Sure.
Because you're not willing to listen to instruction. Versus if you're spending that time meditating and getting God's instruction, you find the way to life and you go the other pathway.
I like that. When I was, I've read this psalm before, but when you spelled it out, I was just thinking the difference is, it's striking. Like, walking, standing, and sitting are all actions that we do on our own. It is our own power, our own process, and it ends up leading away from good, leading away from our own health, our own wellness, leading away from God and into evil. And then this meditation is kind of the opposite of stopping and letting God in.
Yeah.
I like that.
And it's that whole thing of the truth will set you free. So if you're letting it enter and spending that time with it, it does lead you towards God and towards life. Just like that tree that was transplanted by the side of the stream brings you life.
Can you talk a little more about the water involved in that passage? Even if it's repeated from the sermon? Like, what is the water in that?
It's the life-giving part of the whole thing. Okay. And that's why that meditation is water. Mm-hmm. The word of God is water. Mm-hmm. And you take it up. Mm-hmm. And that's what sustains you throughout anything. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the Torah for a minute?
Isn't there a movie with that name?
Can we talk about the Torah or Torah?
Yeah.
You spoke on the Torah, which is the Hebrew. Is that Hebrew? So we're getting nerdy. What is Tanakh? Is that, do you know what that is?
There's the Mishnah, the Tanakh, the Torah, there's all these commentaries as well that they talk about. And yeah, that gets...
Okay. Well, the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, the Pentateuch. Yeah. That's the Greek word for it. Yeah. And you said, you know, in English, a lot of the times when we talk about the Torah, people translate it as law. They say, this is the law. This is the law that God gave us, the law that we have to follow. But in reality, it's actually more appropriately translated as instruction. So how do you think that our view of Torah or our view of God, our view of the scripture, the first five books of the Bible, how do you think all that changes when we look at it as instruction instead of law?
I think when I think of law, I think do this, don't do that, all this negative type of stuff versus the overall view of God and what he's saying from the beginning to the end, which is all about him doing what's for our good. You know, he's not there trying to cramp our style and make things difficult for us. So I think it changes how we see what he's saying and what he's allowing.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants us to be in relationship with him. And I think we can miss that when all we see is the law.
I agree. I think it's the difference between a like an authoritarian police officer, you know, a police state, these are the rules, follow them, versus like the instruction of a loving parent.
Yeah. And as someone who is a rules girl, it changes the whole landscape. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, right. There's something comforting about having the rules and knowing what lane you should be in. It changes drastically. Hey, party people. I am interrupting our podcast right now to let you know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate all of your support. We can't do what we do without you. This podcast is an important part of our mission at Harbor in helping people find their way back to God. So if you are not already supporting Harbor and would like to be part of our mission, we would greatly appreciate if you would consider supporting us financially so that we can keep making this podcast and you can be part of the work God is doing through Harbor of Hope Church. If you want to contribute to our mission, you can give online at harborofhope.org/give. Again, that's harborofhope.org/give. Now, back to the party. We are taking in scripture. We're meditating on it. What does meditation do for us that like other, like simply reading scripture doesn't? Like, what's the difference between waking up and reading a chapter of the Bible or waking up and meditating?
It's the difference between, for me, it's the difference between a checklist, which, oh, I need to read this, you know, I've done the Bible in a year plans and all that. And I'm usually trying to check it off. Okay, I read that chapter today. Instead of taking time lingering with it, savoring of the passages. It's a very different thing here. And little side note, I used to be a weaver. So I would listen to the Bible on tape as I wove.
Oh, that's great.
Again and again. And there's some really weird stuff in there.
In the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's really weird stuff. And at times I would just stop it. Stop the recording and say, what? And I don't think we do that often enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't hang out with a verse. And mm-hmm. I've had people say, well, what are you reading now? It's like, Psalm 1, verse 2. Weren't you doing that last week?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the week before.
Uh-huh.
I'm just hanging out with it.
That's
and
great.
Sometimes mm-hmm. we need to do that. Mm-hmm. Just hang out with it.
I think that's beautiful. It takes courage. I think it takes courage in a really weird way. It takes courage to slow down and stay in that one place. Because you know, we want to be productive. We want to read all the Bible. There's so much of it, but it doesn't penetrate our soul if we don't sit there.
Yeah. And I think it's sort of like the difference between, you know, a 2-minute chat with mm-hmm. a friend versus mm-hmm. lingering over a cup of tea for an hour or so with them,
mm-hmm. yeah.
where you really get to hear their heart
yeah.
and what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. So it's not saying, hey, I talked to this person, I texted them.
Yeah.
That's good enough. Yeah, it's really sitting with that relationship.
Yeah, it's that being rather than doing in a lot of respects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scripture, as you said, is like water, where it can be refreshing and it can also have immense power and bring total change. What are some places that you would recommend that people meditate in scripture to help them change? Like what has helped you that you would give people recommendations that they can be reminded of God's truth?
Oh boy. That's it's different every season of my life.
Sure. Yeah.
Even week to week, it can change.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main thing is asking God to guide it
mm-hmm.
and saying, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? What do I need to hear?
Mm-hmm.
Like I talked in the sermon about that passage where I got convicted of judging.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those times when it was, okay, God, I'm still struggling with this. This is driving me nuts.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be this tough.
Mm-hmm.
This, I mean, I've faced things like this before. Why is this one so difficult?
Yeah, right.
And I think I need you to guide me. And I was just flipping through, looking at things and said, huh, I'll look at this passage. And I don't normally recommend people don't just
mm-hmm.
yeah, flip
the,
it open.
The That's flip just, open and point your finger and where
yeah,
it is. Yeah.
I don't normally recommend that. Mm-hmm. But I was just going through it and it was one of those things that just hit me between the eyes and said, you stop here. It was that kind of judging. Oh, crap. Yeah. That's when you know he wants to talk to you and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I like what you said in the sermon. He's like, he picks you up by the collar and says, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just hits you right in the face.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll be doing that. I'll say, I need to read in the Psalms today. And I'll just mm-hmm. sort of start going through the Psalms and stop when one hits me
mm-hmm.
and just says, I need to read this one today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do read through them periodically. Mm-hmm. I do read through Proverbs and New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to see the whole of Scripture.
Yes.
Oh, even yeah. the weird stuff.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm going to talk about a little bit next week is staying curious when we come up against those hard passages because it's easy to walk away, but we really need to be in it and recognize it's there for a reason, even if it's hard yeah. to understand or to reconcile or to take in. It's there for a reason, so it is important
yeah.
to stay there, stay curious, and keep meditating on it.
Cool.
Great, yeah.
Now, one of the things I've done over the years
mm-hmm.
is I will get to a place where I start questioning if the word of God is true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As bizarre as that sounds, I've done that time and time and time again.
Yeah.
And I always went back to a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Okay.
Because that's one of the things that helped hammer home that the scripture is true and I can rely on it. That it's not
Great.
Something I've made up in my head or want to believe,
right.
but that it is true. And it's a lot of numbers and statistics. And it's like, but that has helped me make my foundation and go back
Great.
To the word and say, oh, how cool. I will see something Old Testament that connects to the new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow,
that's
God
great.
Is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the stuff our post-enlightenment brains want. We want that evidence. We want that.
Yeah.
Those facts and figures. which is great. I love that people are writing about it. I love that it has given you some solid ground. So what was it called again? Evidence in...
Evidence that demands a verdict.
Evidence that demands a verdict. There's your book recommendation for the day. I love it. You painted a picture of two different responses of how we can respond to Jesus. One was the rich young man who turned away, and then there was the Samaritan woman who was open, receptive, and responsive. Do you have any recommendations? Like, what are ways that we can remain open and receptive to Scripture the way the Samaritan woman was to Jesus?
I think just like the rich young man was holding on to something, mm-hmm. he didn't want to let it go to God. He did not want God to be number one. Mm-hmm. So I would ask, what is it you want to hide from God? What is it you don't want him to see?
Yeah.
What are you clinging to that's more important? And especially if you know that his word says, don't do, I mean, not to be legalistic or mm-hmm. anything I said not to be in the sermon. Yeah. Right. But it is that, what, you know, sometimes we have to ask the question, what would the answer be to, I'd feel content or alive or fulfilled by if I only had blank. Mm-hmm. That can help us see what our idols are versus the woman at the well who really engaged. She didn't ask, what must I do? He was about doing. She ended up more being, I think, and discussing the scripture with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And saying, how can that be? She asked him questions. Mm-hmm.
And she's willing to hear as well.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She didn't walk away sad, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I'm just spitballing here. I think a big difference is, you know, the Samaritan woman was in a rougher spot, you know, circumstantially, kind of on the outsides and, you know, not as respected by society necessarily. And the rich young man had everything he wanted. And so when we are in a place that we are comfortable, it's harder to recognize our need for Jesus, our need for scripture, our need for something outside of ourselves. So
absolutely.
The battle is harder when for those who are, you know, more privileged or more comfortable and content in the world.
Yeah. And Jesus said that numerous places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, right. And it's
harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah, right. That is very biblical. Great.
Don't ask me where it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know it's in there.
It's in the gospel somewhere.
That's about all I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, Cricket, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything before we go that hit the cutting room floor that didn't make it in that you want to share with the people?
Oh boy, there were so many things that hit the floor. Mm-hmm. Even this morning, it's like, oh, gotta take that out. That's too much. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with keeping it simple. Mm-hmm. That's one of my things.
Okay. Well, there's so much to it. It's hard to.
Yeah, and water is everywhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I mean, from the beginning in Genesis, the Spirit hovering over the waters to the end in Revelation. Mm-hmm. And when we went through our critique of the sermon, it was, well, you should add this and don't forget that. And it's I just went with, I need to let the scripture itself drive this. Mm-hmm. Let it show what. And I had already written the sermon. This is the funny part, is I had written the sermon Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday morning, I scrapped it and started all over again.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was, okay, God, you don't want that? All right, let's do it.
Which is great. Well, like, kudos to you for practicing what you preach, because that's a big thing, a big act of faith, to let scripture be the water that changes you and changes the message. And
it had to be. And then you see then you see, as life goes on, as time goes on, you look at that and you just go, wow, God, you did that, not me. Thanks for letting me ride along with you.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
That's what it feels like most of the time, is God driving it, me just along for the ride.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Is there a message for today that you want to leave our people with?
Just spend time with the scripture. It is life. It's the water you need to leave, and it will help you to thrive no matter what hits you like a tsunami.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cricket.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, of course. And thanks, everyone, for being here. Stay safe. Wash your hands. And see you next week. Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.